The 9:15 service. It's nice to see you. It's good. Y'all with me this morning?
Yeah.
You better be with me because it's about to get real up in here. It's going to be good. Whoop, whoop. No other announcements. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify today in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you'd use this word to change us, to challenge us, and to convict us. Father, we so desperately need you to speak to us, God. We need you to fix the things inside of us that need to be fixed. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would do that in us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The title of today's message is Everyone's Ears Will Tingle. And what's fun about preaching through a book of the Old Testament is that it's really easy to find these titles because there's just neat things that are going on. For those of you that are just joining us for the first time, we've been going through 1 Samuel for the last few weeks. I thought 1 Samuel was going to take a little bit longer. It looks like we're barreling through this thing. We're already in chapter 3. When you're preaching through a New Testament book, there's always like sermons every line. In the Old Testament, it's really big chunks of scripture. And so we're doing all of chapter 3. As I've told you before, I don't read the whole entire thing because I just don't want to do that. I don't know how to read that well. And so you can read it on your own. You should be reading 1 Samuel all throughout the week, preparing your minds and hearts as you come into that, come into this week. If you haven't been reading, it's fine. I'm going to give you a quick synopsis. What the book of 1 Samuel really talks about is God calling this prophet Samuel. And so here in chapter 3, what we see is that story, the story of when God calls Samuel. And what had been happening is that young Samuel had been ministering in the temple with this judge and priest called Eli. But it hasn't become time yet for him to become a prophet. And so what's happening in the story is that Samuel is sleeping and he hears a voice and he thinks that it's Eli calling to him, but it's not. And so there's this thing that happens where Samuel gets up and he's like, Eli, are you calling me? And Eli says, no, it's not me. And then Samuel gets up. He's like, Eli, are you calling me? He's like, no, it's not me. And then finally, Eli says, you know what? I think God's talking to you, Samuel. And so Samuel pops up and he's ready to talk to God. And so Eli tells Samuel, he said, well, if God's talking to you, you better answer back. And so Samuel's having this conversation with God, and God is coming to speak to Samuel to tell Samuel to speak judgment over Eli's house. So you've got Eli, the priest and judge. Samuel's hearing from God. Samuel hears from God and says to Eli, goes, hey, man, I heard from God. And just so you know, God's judgment is coming upon your house. Now, in that situation, what happens is that Samuel is concerned. Like, he has a hard time because he's has to speak this hard, hard word upon the house of Eli. And so he's kind of reluctant to do it. And so he struggles with that within this story. But part of it is that Samuel's got to be obedient. The word is Eli's house is going to be destroyed. And so Samuel, being obedient to God, speaks what he needs to speak and then is declared a true prophet of God. But it wasn't until he was obedient that he was declared a true prophet of God. It wasn't until he heard from God, spoke from God, and said what God had told him to speak that he became a true prophet of God. So let's get into this sermon. And I'll tell you, man, I wish that there was one theme that flew throughout this whole entire chapter, but we're just going to pull out a few things from it that are going to apply to our lives today. The first thing we want to talk about from this story is in verse 1. And in verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. What happened during these times is that there wasn't the written texts that we have now. We are blessed to live in a time and age where God said a whole lot of stuff, and men, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, were smart enough to write it down. And so now we can just grab a Bible and know what God is saying or what God has said. But back then it wasn't that way. They depended on prophets of God to speak as oracles of God so that they could understand what God wanted, what God was doing, where God was taking the nation of Israel. And in this period of history, God has been silent with the people of Israel. And so it's recorded to say that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, that God wasn't even speaking. Now, as God speaks, part of it is that people have to listen. And part of why God wasn't speaking in this season, I believe, is because Eli was corrupt. So you remember, stay with the story. Eli is the priest. Samuel is the soon-to-be prophet. If you remember from last week when we talked about the corrupt sons of Eli, it was a very corrupt house. Things were not going well. And so I believe that God had kind of stepped back and said, you know what? If you guys are going to walk in corruption, if you guys aren't going to do what I'm asking you to do, what good is it for me to speak to you anyway? You're not going to do what I say. You're not going to respond how I want you to respond. And so the word of the Lord was rare during those days. Now, here's the thing. People need the word of the Lord. They need the direction. They need God to speak to them. And so if God in his infinite sovereignty and wisdom looks down at the people and says, you know what? I'm not going to speak to you. The people are lost. They have no idea what to do or how to live. This was the time in Israel of Judges 17:6, and it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Can you imagine living in a time where the word of God was rare and everybody did what they thought was right in their own eyes? It might be really hard for you to grasp this concept. To be living in a time where people don't listen to the words of the Lord and do whatever they think is right in their own eyes. Is that subtle enough? Folks, this is what I love about going through 1 Samuel. It's exactly what's going on right now in this day and age. The word of the Lord is just as rare today as it is then. Largely, I believe it's because we are living in a corrupt society where everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, in the story of 1 Samuel, and this is the steps that we see all the time through Israel's history. God speaks, people respond, they fall into disobedience, God stops speaking, then God sends a word to correct them, then he rebukes them, then they repent, and then they come back. It's a continual cycle throughout the Old and New Testament. Romans 1:28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that were not fitting. See, part of what people don't understand about the judgment of God is that there is an ultimate judgment of God that is coming that's going to be fire and brimstone and blood in the streets and all those things within Revelation. But the judgment of God as it exists in every age, and it's no different today, the greatest judgment of God is that God will give you over to what you want. Yes. Yes. Don't miss this. The greatest judgment of God is when you want to go in sin and God says, you know what? I'm done fighting you. I'm done struggling with you. If that's what you want to do, yes, go and do it. Yeah. That is the ultimate judgment of God, where God gives you over to a debased mind. God says, you don't want to retain my knowledge. You don't want to live under my precepts. You don't want to do what I'm doing. Then fine, just go and live your life. The judgment of God is getting whatever you want and God stepping back and giving it to you. People say, God, I don't want you. Great. Go live your life. You don't want to live under my precepts? Go live that life and see how your life is. Because it's not going to end well. What does it mean to you? Do not be a person who rejects the word of God and dies spiritually and be a person that God will not speak to. Amen. Don't be that person, because it's what God does. If God says, I will speak to you if you will listen, but if you're not going to listen, why am I going to speak? Yeah. What good is it? There's nothing good that can come out from me speaking to you and having you not even answer it. America and Americans no longer hold to a biblical worldview. Yeah. We are living in post-Christian America. We are. And there's people out there that think that we can turn this thing around. And frankly, I don't think we can. And somebody said, man, well, that's faithless. And don't we believe in a big God and a good God? And I'm like, I believe that God can turn it around. But we have been falling into disrepair. I've read the end of the book. I know how it all ends. I believe that there's going to be an end time revival where a lot of people will come. But the trajectory of Christianity in America is not going well. It's going like this. It's not going like this. And the biggest reason why it's going like this and not like this is because Christians, or I should say people that call themselves Christians, don't even hold fast to a biblical worldview at all. They did this study and it said that 112 million Americans, 46%, say they have a biblical worldview. But after answering the questions of the study, 24 million American adults actually have a biblical worldview. Only 10% of Americans think and act according to the most basic biblical principles. This is a gap of a staggering 88 million people who believe they think biblically, but whose beliefs and actions do not match up with biblical truth. So there's 100 and something million that say, oh, I have a biblical worldview. And then when they ask them these questions about having a biblical worldview, no. And these are basic things like the Bible is inerrant. Jesus lived a sinless life. I should share my faith with other people. Jesus is the only way to... There's like 7 questions that they ask. Only 10% of Americans hold that biblical worldview. And so we wonder, like, why would God speak to a people that aren't going to listen? He was nice enough to write it down once. We can read it and understand the basics of it very, very simply. And if we're not going to, then why would God speak? There are times in Scripture where God withholds revelation on people as judgment. And I really believe that we're living in those days. I really do. And I'm not meaning to be discouraging. I'm just meaning to be honest. We are living in a time that is one of the most biblically illiterate, violent, sexually immoral, mind-blowing, like basics of human being world, man. Like we are in a series of decisions over the last few decades where we can't even agree on this is a boy and this is a girl. Like people, up is down and down is up, and like what we're living in like this bizarro world, and then people want to say, well, why would you dare say that I am 60 years old? I don't identify as somebody who's 60 years old. I identify as somebody who's 29. It defies logic, man. And I know praise God, we live in a world that I have free speech, man. And it's so funny because, and I don't mean to always bring this dude up, but it's even like with the whole Trump thing, everybody's like, Trump, Trump, Trump. Dude, he is the result of the nation that we've become. Thrice divorced, owns strip clubs, loves money, lies, like all these things. Then people are like, why don't we have a moral commitment? Because America's immoral. He's exactly like most Americans, and then they want to have this moral high ground where they live this other life and then think like, why can't he live this moral life? I don't want to live a moral life, but I sure expect my leaders to. Amos 8:11, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but hearing of the words of the Lord. It's as true back then as it is now. The only difference is that we have the written word and people flat out reject it. People proclaim the word to be false. They don't like what it says. They challenge its truth. See, people like the idea of Jesus, this nice bearded man that makes furniture and walks around and gives people fish and bread. They love that Jesus. What they don't love is the biblical Jesus that tells people how to live, what to do, and is going to come back with fire to judge a world. They don't want that Jesus. You know, and I mean this as humbly as possible. One of the reasons why our church is growing so fast is because we preach the word here. We preach it on Sundays. We preach it on Wednesdays. We preach it in our Bible studies. We are a word-centered church. And other people that I talk to, than the pastor, they're like, what are you doing to grow your church? I'm like, I just preach the Bible, man. But what do you do? I'm like, read what it says, tell them how to apply it, set them loose. And I know guys that are like, you know, doing all these other things trying to grow their churches. And I'm like, dude, the word of the Lord is so rare these days. And people are begging for it, man. They want to feast on it. God, I heard a pastor, and this is what changed me. A pastor said to me one time, an older man, and he said, it was Steve Shelf from Northwest Foursquare. Yeah. He said, God was nice enough to write down everything he ever wanted to say. It's your job to tell him again. It's very simple. But the word of God is the most important thing for us. And if we don't stay in a word-focused, word-centered existence, we too will fall astray. 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me show you this verse. It's great. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says this. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Yep. This is the time in which we're living. Yep. It truly is that people are turning their minds and their eyes to other things. There is no reason why I should be arguing basic Christianity with people that call themselves Christians. Yeah. It is ridiculous. The amount of time that I have to spend with people that call themselves Christians, that you have to argue basic precepts of Christianity. I mean, I'm talking about something so simple to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It's all throughout the Bible. But people are so like afraid to stand on the truth of God's word. And so the caution for you is, don't become that person, man. Read your Bibles. Get to know what it says. Apply it to your life. Because here's the other part of it, is that God will speak to people who listen. Yeah. If it's funny, people say, oh man, I can't hear from God. But do you listen? Yeah. Verse 10 in 1 Samuel chapter 3 says, "Now the Lord came and stood and called at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel,' and Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" See, God spoke to Samuel because I believe that, I mean, and we went to the story a few weeks ago. Samuel was conceived miraculously because of God's sovereignty. And so from the beginning, Hannah gave Samuel over to God, and he ministered in the temple for it says, about 12 years before he even became a prophet of God. But God saw something in him that he knew that he could trust him. He looked at him and said, you know what? This is someone that I can use as a prophet because I know that he's going to be obedient and do the things that I'm asking him to do. See, God saw something in Samuel that he could use for the people of Israel, but Samuel had to be positioned to be able to receive that which the Lord was speaking. Yeah. There's many people in the Bible that did not listen, yeah, that God would speak and things would not go well. And so in this story, what we see is someone who's actually being obedient. Again, part of the story is that, remember, he has to come and he's hearing this word from the Lord to speak judgment over Eli's house. And not many of us would be excited about that, right? I mean, when we want God to speak to us, we want good, exciting things that are going to satisfy our sinful flesh. We don't want God to speak to us and say, hey, I want you to go and tell this person that their house is going to be under judgment. You know, God said to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33:3, he said, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." God has always been a God that is going to reveal things to people that are going to listen. Psalm 32:8, the psalmist said, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." And God is just looking for willing people that are willing to give themselves totally and completely over to God and completely listen to what he is going to say and then apply it to their lives. It's very simple. God wants to speak to you, right? God wants to speak to you, but you have to be willing to listen, and then you've got to be willing to apply it to your life. And many prophets of the Old Testament heard from God because they listened and they wanted to serve God and not themselves. Yeah. Many times today, people of today say they are prophets. Yeah. And you will see this on the internet, and you will see it throughout other things. Yeah. And then these people are not prophets, okay? They're not prophesying, they're prophelying. Yeah. Okay? And what you're going to find out with what you're going to find out with people that say that they're prophets of God, they're typically not going to constantly be telling you things that you want to hear. I do not need another prophetic word where someone says, there's a shift. Yeah, it's called tectonic plates. You know what I mean? I don't need another prophet to tell me that God's bringing me into a new season. Jeez. God is bringing abundance. I'm like, what? Come on, man. Like, if you're going to speak as an oracle of God, you better know him. You better walk with him. You better be being obedient in the tiny little areas of your life before you want to step up and say that you are hearing from God. Biblical prophecy is often corrective. It's not always this foretelling of great things. And so this is why people are like, oh man, I want to have a spirit of prophecy so I can go around, I can tell people great things about their lives, and then people are going to like me because I'm telling them all these great things that there's no litmus test 5 or 10 years from now when things aren't happening. The prophetic often works in the corrective. Just a couple weeks ago, the Lord gave my wife a prophetic word, and she spoke a corrective word, and I was like, ouch, that's not very encouraging. But oftentimes, the prophecy of God is not for encouragement, it's for correction. What does it mean to you? If you would give your life to Jesus, he will speak to you. He will tell you things. He will reveal things to you. The Bible says in John 8:47, he who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Don't miss me on this, man. Okay, stay awake, get off your phones. If you do not hear anything from God, it's probably because you're not of his. If you would say, man, God never speaks to me. Okay, now Jesus said, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. And people say, man, that's kind of mean, isn't it? Well, is it? Because if you were of God, God would speak things to you into your spirit, and you would know it, and you would know it was God because you're of God. And if you don't understand the Bible, it's probably because you don't know God. If you would say to me, like, man, I've tried to read the Bible, I just can't get it, man. I just can't seem to grasp it at all. Jesus said in John 8:43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. See, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you have truly given your life to him, if you've repented of your sins and are walking with him, God will always miraculously speak to you every single time, man. I got saved when I was 15 years old, okay? 15 years old. Now, I don't say this to ruin any sort of image of, you know, what you may think about. I'm not a very intelligent man, okay? There are some things that I'm very emotionally intelligent. I have a lot of knowledge when it comes to, like, big decisions and how to do. But when, like, baseline, like, comprehension, reading, numbers, all those other things, I struggle, man. I really do. And I don't know if I have a learning disorder or anything else, but I struggle with it, okay? And just to give you an idea, when I was in high school, I had a 2.9 GPA. You know, I graduated from college with a 2.67, okay? C's get degrees. Come on, where are my people at? Okay? There's no GPA on it. But when I was 15 years old and I became a Christian, I completely understood God's word. At 15 years old. At 15 years old, I could read it and I could understand it. I could read it and I could apply it. I could go through it and grasp big, huge things about what the Bible said at 15 years old. Why? Because I got saved. I moved from death to life. And I would go to this godless church that I had been raised in. 100%, God wasn't there. I don't know what those people were doing. After I got saved and I brought my Bible to church, and the people were like, don't bring your Bible to church. You don't need that here. Seriously, that's why I don't go to that church anymore. And some of those adults couldn't even understand what the Bible said, and I'm 15 years old telling them what it means. If you are not understanding God's word, you need to get saved, man. The Bible says in 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. That's what it says. Jesus also said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's what it says. If you do not understand God's word, you have got to ask yourself, like, have I given my life to him? Have I given everything that I have to him? Have I truly been regenerated? Have I been regenerated by the Holy Spirit? Because here's the other part of it. And here's the big picture of this, right? God speaks to Samuel. And the reason why he speaks to Samuel is because he wants people to listen. God is trying to direct his people. And so when you are a follower of Jesus Christ, when God speaks to you, it is so that you can be used by God to direct other Christians in the way in which they should go. See, this is why I believe in the priesthood of all believers. Okay, the priesthood of all believers is believing that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God can speak to you just as clearly as he can speak to me. My role is to be the pastor, but I don't have some special revelation where God only speaks to me and he doesn't speak to you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you believe in him, I believe that God wants to speak to you just as clearly as he wants to speak to anybody else. There's neither Gentile nor Jew nor slave nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And so you need to have this mindset, not that I need to attend a church where a pastor can speak to God and God can speak to him because I need to be spoken to, but a place where God can speak to you just as easily as he can speak to me. And when you speak, God wants you to speak in love. It's so important for you to speak in love. It is undeniably important that you would speak in love. I can't even begin to describe you how important it is. And when God speaks, it's not just for God to speak. It is for a reason. To direct, to encourage, to correct, to cast vision, and to connect with his people. Much of the Bible is recording God speaking to the people, their responses and the outcome. And so when you read through the Bible and you see people speaking, or you hear people see people hearing from God, people speak for God and then there is an outcome. Either they're going to be obedient to it or they're not going to be obedient to it. And for Samuel, God spoke to him. It wasn't easy for him to process what he was going to do. It says in verse 15 that Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. And it's natural, man. When God speaks something and you feel as though you're supposed to speak that thing, it's natural to not want to tell people what God has told you to speak. It's very natural. It's very hard for me oftentimes, even when I come to church, to preach the message that God has put on my heart to preach. It's hard, man. Why? Because I want people to like me. Yeah. Okay, none of you guys feel that way. That's great. Okay. You guys are like, man, I hate people. I wish they all despised me. I want people to like me. And so when you come down and you tell people things that maybe they don't want to hear, you're like, man, they're probably not going to like me after that. But I so desperately want God to like me. Yes. And what good is it for me as a Christian? What good is it for me as a pastor to not listen and speak that which God is telling me to speak? But Samuel spoke up. He said what God was telling him. He told the truth and he spoke up. It says in verse 18, then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And again, it wasn't good stuff, man. It was a word of destruction upon the house of Eli. It wasn't the best news. But God needed Eli to know, and he needed Samuel to speak it. And so the application for you this morning is very simple. Will you be a person that speaks the truth in love? No. Okay. Well, we'll continue. Let me tell you a fun story. So a few years ago, Crystal and I were on our way to a wedding, and for whatever reason, either Crystal didn't have a dress, or she forgot it, or she wanted to get a different one. And this is probably, what, about 8 or 9 years ago, and so we were up at Northgate Mall, and we were just about to go to this wedding in Seattle. We were at my mom's house. We're like, oh, let's go to Northgate or whatever. So Crystal goes, and, you know, I'm just Come on, guys. You've been there with me, right? We went to Marshall's yesterday for 7 minutes, and I thought I was going to pass out. Like, I couldn't. Just sucks the life from you just being in there, right? And so we're there, and she's picking out a dress, which is fine. I love my wife. And so there's a dressing room. And so she goes in and tries it on. She goes, "Hey, honey, come and look at this dress and tell me what you think." And so I walk into the dressing room, and she steps out, and she's like, "So what do you think?" And I was like, "Oh, it's great," and whatever. And so she's kind of going back and forth. And so then this other lady walks out, she looks at me with these, like, "I want to kill you" eyes, right? And she goes, "This is the women's dressing room." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." Because I'd been in here for like 10 minutes just hanging out. Right? I was like, "Oh my gosh, dude." My stomach hurt. I started to sweat. I'm like, what kind of predator am I that I'm just hanging out in the women's dressing room at Northgate Mall, right? This woman, justified. I mean, I'm big. I'm there. I'm here in the women's dressing room. And so then I step outside because I'm so embarrassed. I look outside. I'm looking over at the start of it, and it says, "Dressing room." Wait a minute. This isn't the women's dressing room. It's the dressing room. There was no women's dressing room. There wasn't no men's dressing room. There was a dressing room. So you know what I did? I saw her and I started chasing her down. I said, "Hey!" I said, "It's not a women's dressing room. It's just a dressing room." And she didn't listen to me, so I kind of picked up the pace and I got in front of her. I was like, "It wasn't a women's. It was a dressing room. Okay?" That's a 100% true story.
No, you didn't do that.
I 100% did it. I'm glad you guys don't ever lose it. It was Northgate. They don't know me up there. It's fine. The church was much smaller back then. Years later, I think about that. I'm like, what a jerk, man. You know what I mean? Like, who does that? Me, apparently. Now, I was 100% right. It was not a women's dressing room. It was not. I had every right to be in there. There was a woman's one, but it wasn't that one. I was right, but I wasn't speaking the truth in love. See, this is what I do. I tell you stories when I failed so you guys can paint the picture, okay? If you're going to speak for God, man, you've got to have a love, man. And if you don't have a love, just shut up, man. Seriously, like, if you don't love God and you don't love people, don't quote scripture to people, don't try to correct people, don't try to help people out, man. You would be better to get your heart right first before you do that. And there's three areas that people don't speak truth. Number one, to others when asked. Someone will say, "How are you doing?" "Fine." That's a lie, man. Secondly, area that people don't speak truth is to themselves. "Oh, I don't have anything to work on. Like, I've arrived." Third area where people don't speak truth, when faced with biblical error, it's better if I stay silent. We're living in a world where the word of God is rare, where the word of God is not being spoken. And so we are around in this world to places where people will speak error. You know what the truth is, and you're not speaking up about it. Paul spoke to the Ephesian church and challenged them and said in Ephesians chapter 4, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." How can we be the family of God if we lie to one another? If you have a struggle, talk to a fellow Christian about it. Tell them that you need help. Be honest with them about it. If you don't know much about Faith and Victory, it's this, is that we want to be welcoming, we want to be authentic, and we want to be restorative. And so for a lot of people, they find it difficult to be in a church where people are authentic because they don't want to be authentic. They don't want people to know them, and they want to live in this fantasy land world where nobody knows their problems. The problem with that is that if you don't deal with what you need to deal with, eventually it all comes crashing down. And so the better step is to speak the truth, and when you have an issue, to share it with a brother or sister and say, you know what? I've got some stuff that I need to work on, man. I've got problems in my marriage or my kids, or I've got addiction problems or emotions, whatever negative. You've got to speak up. And if that person can't handle it, go find someone who can. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We will never be the church that God needs us to be if we don't speak the truth in love. Never. But it has to be in love. Like, speaking the truth without any love is not good at all. Do you know how you keep sin out of the church? You talk to the people that are falling into it. And this is, again, basic Christianity that, for whatever reason, has fallen into this, don't talk to me, don't judge me, it's my own life, I can live however I want. And that is not biblical, and it is not true. We are all members of one body of Christ. If there's one of us that is sick or in sin, we, with a spirit of gentleness, the word says, it says in Galatians chapter 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. But it has to be in love. Right? I mean, this is part of the relationship, you guys don't understand, with me and Pastor Jay, right? We've been friends for a lot of years, but we call each other out on stuff. We pull each other aside and be like, hey man, I kind of noticed this thing. Where are you at with that? It's a spirit of gentleness. It's from a position of love. We're not casting judgment on one another. We're trying to help each other grow in our relationship with Christ. And for the life of me, I'll never understand Christian people that get upset when someone grabs them and pulls them aside and says, hey man, I see this in your life and it's going to destroy you. Can you and I work together? Can you and I get us to a place where we can have a spiritual conversation? But you have to be spiritual, and you have to be gentle, and you have to pray about it, and you have to fast about it. You know, many times people want to be that word, and they want to go and speak to somebody, but they don't want to do is take the hard time to pray about it for a couple days or fast for a couple days. And when you go to that person, you're like, you know what, man, I've been fasting for 3 days before I spoke to you today. I've been praying about it for 10 days, and I just want to talk to you about something I think that could be destruction in your life. If you're going to speak up, you've got to do it in love. Do you know what squashes gossip in a church? It's when you go and talk to somebody that you have an offense with. You don't go talk to somebody else about the offense that you have. You go directly to the person that you have an offense with in love. And because you lack the courage to be in love or lack the courage to speak directly to that person, you want to go find another disgruntled person to gossip with. Instead of just saying, you know what, this isn't of God. I've got to go and talk directly with that person. You don't Facebook it. You don't talk to someone about it. You talk to God about it. You own your piece of it and seek reconciliation with those that you have harmed. That's what you do. Matthew 8:15, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. And when it comes to speaking up the gospel, you have to be ready to speak up in love when it happens. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who gives you a reason or asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And if you don't know the gospel, it's very simple. This is it. God wanted relationship with man. Man was sinful, couldn't be in relationship, so he sent Jesus so that they could be in relationship with one another. An individual turns away from sin, turns towards God, and says, I want to live with you and for you. And then that person is now restored, and they're in a right relationship with God. That's the gospel, man. Turn away from sin, be forgiven of your sin, live in a relationship with God. And so when we have the heart that says, I love you, and I want you to know this truth, and it comes from a position of love, people will receive it much better when it comes from a self-righteous attitude to make people feel bad about themselves instead of leading them to a holy and righteous God. Last scripture, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? If you've never given your life to Jesus, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that today. And maybe you've never made that decision before. Maybe you've never given your heart to God. Well, today I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And it's really quite simple. Either you are living for Jesus or you aren't. Either you've given your heart to him or you haven't. And if you've never made that decision before, I want you to make that decision today. It's really quite simple. I'm going to ask you to do two things. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus and I've never done it before. Is there anybody that needs to do that for the first time today? All right. Always ask. Now, I don't know what the Lord spoke to you this morning. Maybe there's an area of your life that you need to speak up. Maybe there's an area where you've been silent. Would you pray for courage this morning to walk into what God is asking you to walk into? If you haven't been hearing from God, maybe there's some sin you need to repent from in your life to say, do you want God, I need you to speak to me. Maybe you need to just get your face in the Word. Father, we thank you this morning for this Word, God. We thank you and praise you that you're a God that hears, that you're a God that heals, that you're a God that sets free. Father, we pray that when you speak, we will listen. And when you ask us to speak, we will speak, God. We praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Let's all stand up. So after this, don't forget, go get your kids and then go to the AMC fellowship. And then we have baptism on after second service. Let's pray. Lord, we give you honor. Father, we glorify your holy name, Lord. We thank you for your word today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we'll get to know you, God, that we'll get to know your word, O King of Glory, God, that we'll get to hear you, O King of Glory, Father, so you can direct us and guide us in everything that we do, Lord. We just pray, Father, as we go out through this week, God, that we'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We praise you, we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you from the FVC Live team.